Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The wild man of late night radio, Ian Lee.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio. On air and off the leash.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Good evening, dear listener. The late night alternative. Thank you, George Galloway. It's I like following George more than James because George has the studio very, very cold. James has it quite warm. George has it icy cold. And I like that. Slightly different start to the show this evening. You're welcome to call in for the first half an hour or so, but only really if you've got anything to say to my first, my only guest this evening. Let's use the shorthand that you will know him by. It's CJ, formerly of the TV quiz show Eggheads.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you, CJ.
Nice to be here, but it is a little cold in here.
Well, this is, I've put the heating up 3 degrees because I didn't think you'd like it as cold as I do. We worked it out. It was 2004. It was on the Radio 4 show Loose Ends.
Yep.
I was kind of the guest interviewer, and you were on, well, just plugging Eggheads.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just before the second series. Was actually wonderful to come in because I'd listened to Loose Ends for years, and there was Ned Sherrin in the flesh. So it was great to come on. But I was actually terrified because, I don't know if you remember, but Joe Brand was one of the other guests at the time.
Well, who else was on that? Because I don't remember. Joe Brand.
Ms. Loppy. The one Niz wonder
Loppy.
Band.
They were great, Niz Loppy. My dad's got Bruce Lee or something. Yes, the JCB song.
JCB, yeah. And Jo Brand was there. I was chatting to her and I was saying, I'm really nervous about this because I've never met Ned Sherrin. I don't know what he's going to be like, but he was lovely.
Here's the lovely thing about Ned Sherrin, right? And I wish I'd spoken to him more. I wish I knew more about his history than I did. I've since found out. I must have done that half a dozen times with Ned. And this is how old-fashioned he was, and what a gentleman. Every time I did it, the next week I'd get a postcard from him thanking me for going on the show. Mm-hmm. What a gentleman.
Yeah, when that arrived, that was absolutely wonderful. Little signed postcard from him. Something you wouldn't expect.
Did you get one as
well? I got one.
Did you?
Yeah, all the guests got one.
What,
it was fantastic.
Class. And everyone used to, and this was on BBC, this BBC Money, everyone would go down to the pub afterwards. Mm-hmm. And what a classy guy.
Absolutely wonderful.
You will not be getting a postcard from me. You might get a tweet.
Oh, thanks. Well, I've got a cup of coffee, so I'm happy.
Got a cup of coffee. It's nice to see you again, man. And the reason you're here is because one of my listeners kind of atted me and said, I don't know if you've seen that CJ is having a bit of bad luck, to put it bluntly. And I just wondered if you could do anything. And quite often when people suggest guests, I don't really look because Catherine and I have got a really clear idea of who we want. But I thought, oh, okay, I remember CJ. I remember him being a really nice guy when we met. I'll have a little look. And it didn't take long, didn't take much Googling.
No.
To see the past 3 or 4 years have been lousy for you. Before we get to that, let's just go back a little bit. Tell me about you as a young man. What was it like? Because you changed your name to CJ.
Yeah.
You kind of almost created this sort of. So tell me about that.
Well, I grew up in South Yorkshire. Not the most enjoyable of childhoods. I mean, I probably wasn't a very easy child. I was quite difficult, didn't fit in.
Yeah.
But the people who I was living with, those the man and woman to whom I was related, never got on with them. Should we say my liberal views were somewhat at variance to what they thought.
Really?
So at the age of 17, I left and started sleeping on the streets, and I was homeless and sleeping rough for 3 years. in London, Amsterdam, and eventually in Cologne in Germany.
When you say your liberal views, was it your sexuality that they...
Certainly sexuality. Let's just say there weren't many... modern ways of looking at people with different coloured skin, different sexualities, lots of things which didn't sit very well with me. And it wasn't an environment I was happy in. Yeah. So for me, even though it was a horrible and tough decision to make, I was actually happier sleeping on the streets
than it was
the preferred option, yeah.
Okay, so 3 years homeless.
Yep.
How did you turn that around?
By a complete stroke of pure luck. Yeah. I was begging outside a bar in Germany on a Friday night. This guy came up to me and said, "Have you ever thought about modelling?" And I thought, what?
Wow.
What sort of fool are you?
Yes.
But I thought, well, maybe it's a roundabout way of offering me a bed for the night. So I thought, no, I haven't. But he said, well, here's 100 marks, as it was then. I've got an office in Dusseldorf.
Yeah.
If you're interested... come and see me on Monday morning. So
incredible.
I spent a little bit of the money on a bed for that night.
And I was laughing, not because you're not a good-looking guy, just because it's such a strange thing
completely,
to say to a homeless
completely
person.
Serendipitous, out of nowhere, just came up to me, and it turns out it was completely genuine. I went along to his office in Dusseldorf on the Monday morning and stayed with him for 4.5 years.
Isn't that incredible? Mm. And got work, obviously.
Yeah, I was working pretty much non-stop, travelling to some nice places.
Now, there are different types of modelling. What kind of modelling?
It was runway work, so just walking up and down wearing nice clothes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny what you can make money doing these days?
Completely out of the way. It's almost as ridiculous as being a professional quizzer, really.
Okay. The reason I'm kind of just rushing through the early bit is because that's not really what we're here for, but I just think it's good to get a bit of context. So, okay, so then the journey from modelling to... You were one of the better eggheads. You know stuff.
Yeah.
Have you always been quite, I don't know, bookish or you know, full of
I am not just a
stuff?
Geek. I am king of the geeks.
Yes.
It was one of the reasons I never really fitted in at school. I was the kid who at 12 had a briefcase.
Sorry.
I read encyclopedias for fun. I wasn't popular. And no, but I've always had this... love of reading, of learning.
Yeah.
I've always said, I love learning, I don't like being taught.
Yeah.
So formal education, me, did not get on. I had a really rough time at school.
Yeah. Listen, I was not the nicest kid at school. And kids sniff out difference.
Yep.
They see difference as weakness. They see intelligence, to a certain degree, as weakness.
As a threat.
Yeah, completely. And anybody that dares to stick out for whatever reason, you know, is a target, you know.
I put my little head above the parapet.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I did the ultimate geeky thing and I won the school chess championship. I mean, how much of a target did I want to paint on my back?
Oh, mate, I started a chess club, you know. It doesn't help, does it?
No, and so, I mean, I got through that, but learning and taking in facts was something I always enjoyed.
Yeah.
And because I got onto Eggheads... because I was noticed doing other shows. I think the main
as a
one,
contestant.
Yeah, I was a contestant on a few shows, but the main one was The Weakest Link, and I got on there, and the other contestants clearly saw me as a threat because, despite being the strongest link throughout the game, I was the third person voted off.
Unlucky, I won it when I was on it, but carry on.
But I, as a true professional, I prepared what I was going to say in my post-game interview.
Yeah,
and I went into a rant.
Did you really? Good for you. Well done.
I said, it's pretty obvious they're all idiots. They're all off my Christmas list. I hope they never win another penny. And I hope them, their loved ones, and all their pets die horribly in freak yachting accidents.
Oh, blimey.
It was fantastic. And that got me noticed.
Right.
So they invited me back for a Bad Losers special for The Weakest Link, which I won.
Bad Losers special.
And all of a sudden, all the quiz shows wanted me on as a contestant.
Isn't
and I
that
did,
funny? There'll be people that will be surprised by that because people will think that you have to write into a specific show. But of course, I don't know if it quite works like that now, but back then, the producers want good, entertaining contestants.
Absolutely.
And if they see you on something doing, you know, being entertaining, they'll grab you.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the people who've gone from Big Brother, Alison Hammond, Rylan Clark.
Yeah.
Well, they've all gone on to have great careers purely because they've been picked out because their personality is something different.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I got. I mean, if I had been chosen, or if I'd been in the running to be chosen for Eggheads purely on knowledge, I wouldn't have had a chance. My only advantage was that I was younger than all the others.
Yes.
And I had a fairly gregarious personality.
Well, you are a good-looking man. 15 years ago, you were even more good-looking. You have very striking eyes. And the reason I liked you on Eggheads, I don't watch it all the time, but if it's on, it's one of those programmes, oh, Eggheads is on, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You had an arrogance about you.
Oh, absolutely.
You had this real arrogance and this real sniffiness of, well, of course I know the answer.
Yeah.
It was a ridiculous question. Why are you even wasting my time?
There's a wonderful quote that's attributed to the third world chess champion, Jose Capablanca, and it's... there's no such thing as modesty when everyone knows how good you are.
I like it. So you got. So did you have to audition for Eggheads?
Nope.
Did you? They just said we've got this quiz. We want a team of brain boxes, and we want you as part of that.
That's exactly what happened.
Wow.
We're starting this new show. Would you like to come in and do a read through an audition? Not an audition, but an audition for the show itself.
Not funny,
to just make sure the show gets commissioned. So I went in January and did a read through in central London, and they didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And in March I went abroad.
What year?
2003.
Okay.
And then I went abroad for a couple of months, still didn't hear anything, got back, and late July, and I still hadn't heard anything. So I thought, oh, well, that's another thing that's just fallen by the wayside. And the beginning of August, I got a phone call saying, CJ, remember that read-through you came in for? Oh, yeah. Well, it's got commissioned. Oh, wonderful. So you'd like me to come and do a rehearsal? No, we've done that. We'd like me to come and do the pilot? No, that's happened as well. Well, why are you calling me? We start filming in 3 weeks, get learning.
That's TV. You wait for months and months, nothing, and then it's, are you free next Tuesday?
Absolutely.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
And Eggheads, there was a real glut, late 90s, early 2000s, of quiz shows became sexy again, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
With The Weakest Link, I guess Millionaire probably kind of kick-started it, Weakest Link. There are all of these formats, and Weakest Link... I can't remember exactly. Was it a tea time show when it first started? I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was that slot of 4:30, 5:00.
Absolutely,
we need something that is stimulating. It stimulates your brain, but isn't too taxing. Those shows became big. And Eggheads at the start was a big old show. It took off, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
made you all famous.
Oh yeah. I mean, here we all are. In terms of episodes, it's the third longest running British quiz show of all time.
Right.
In terms of number of episodes.
Yeah.
It's been going now, 16 years?
Wow.
That's incredible. I mean, nearly 2,000 episodes. You can't possibly imagine when you start doing something like that, it's going to have that kind of pull, that kind of attraction.
Yeah.
And the thing is, because it taps into that nerdy jealousy, that fascination with people, and I think one of the reasons it has survived is because it's so cheap to make.
Yeah, of course.
People love watching it, but it's cheap to produce.
Do you mind talking about it? Because we are going to get to the bit, we'll have a break in a second, but we are going to get to the bit where, they screw you over. And is it uncomfortable talking about Eggheads?
It's an uncomfortable subject, but... It gave me so much. It gave me so many opportunities that I would never have otherwise had. I can be uncomfortable and bitter about the way it ended and the way I was treated. But as for the show itself, I've got nothing but respect and nothing but love because it was a wonderful time of my life and it's something I could never have possibly imagined.
Good for you. Let's take a quick break and then we'll find out what's been going on in the last few years. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Unmissable Late Night Radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Evening, dear listener. You can give us a call if you want. 0344 499 1000. We've got CJ with us. The reason I'm not saying your last name, CJ, is because I can never remember how to pronounce it. Go on.
Pronounce it how you like. Demui is the correct pronunciation, but Demui is perfectly fine.
Okay,
I don't mind.
Now, listen, we've talked about Eggheads. We've talked about the golden years. It kind of started to go wrong.
Yeah.
Would you say around the time of the autobiography? The chronology gets a little bit confusing for me. So you tell your story.
The autobiography came out in September 2015.
Yeah.
No problems whatsoever. Book had been out for several months. Things started to go wrong in January 2016.
Okay.
Somebody I thought was a friend made a horrible accusation against me and accused me of sexual assault.
Right.
Eggheads, to their credit, stood firmly behind me. The producer suspended me on the day I was questioned.
Okay.
And 3 months later, when I was completely cleared of all suspicion, on that very same day, they fired me.
Right, okay. So sorry, what year was it? What year was it you were accused of sexual assault?
January 2016.
Okay. And then 3 months later, you were completely cleared.
Yep.
And that is still the case? You have never been...
I've never been charged. I was never even arrested.
I was going to say, when you were cleared, so you didn't go into court. It wasn't in court.
No, the I was questioned by police, but there was an eyewitness account from somebody who was in the room at the time.
Right.
There was video evidence from the hotel, and there was the results of DNA testing, all of which proved my innocence.
Okay. So you're innocent of that,
of the
sexual assault you were accused of.
Yes.
Can you understand? I've worked with the BBC. I got the boot from the BBC because I had a go against some right-wing Christians who were homophobic bigots.
Yep.
You know, Nicky Campbell does the same thing. He gets applauded. I got the boot. And I dragged Catherine with me. That's by the way. So I have seen, and I'm a big fan of the BBC.
Yep.
I was so proud to work for it. But I have seen, on a slightly smaller scale, how flawed it is and what a dinosaur it can be and how people within it can get scared and rather than deal with an issue, they'll just drop, you know, wipe their hands of it. Can you understand why you were suspended?
They think their audience is far more conservative than it is.
Yeah.
They're so terrified of any hint of scandal, and this is all on the back of Yew Tree, of course, which was still very fresh in people's minds at the time. But I think the fact that, yes, okay, they suspended me while the investigation was going on, I understand why they did it. I felt a little hurt they did.
Of course, because you knew you were innocent.
I knew I was completely innocent. But, okay, fine. It was right in the middle of a filming block.
Okay.
It was a 2-week filming block in the middle of it, and they sent me home and didn't allow me to do the second week of filming.
What happened? How did you just kind of get collared in your dressing room and they said, we don't need you today? What happened?
Yes. The accusation was on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I was taken to the police station on the Sunday night, held there and questioned the early hours of Monday morning, went into the BBC on the Monday morning. The producer came in and said, not today. You'll have to go home. You're suspended.
Let's go back ever so slightly. How did the police get? Did you get a knock at the door?
I went back to my hotel on the Sunday evening, and my room hadn't been made up, and I didn't know why. So I went down to reception to ask them. They said, "Oh yes, we'll go make it up in a minute." Obviously, the police had told them not to make up the room in case there was evidence there, and they just came and detained me in the lobby of the hotel.
Yeah, what was that like? That must have. What was that like?
It was very confusing because I was just sitting there waiting. My friend was up in the room. I was just sitting there waiting for them to attend to the room. The two police officers came in and said, would you like to come over here? I said, what's it about? No, just come over here. They took me over to one side and they said, this man has accused you of sexual assault. And I was stunned and devastated, as you would be. And I was in a state of shock. And they took me up to the room because I had to go and get a couple of things. Two police officers were already up there questioning my friend, and then they took me to the station and locked me up in a cell and kept me there for several hours and then questioned me about 2 a.m.
I cannot begin to imagine what that must be like. The words that spring to mind are humiliating, frustrating, upsetting.
I was, I think, too shocked to be anything else,
right,
really.
Okay.
But the experience of being locked in a police cell for several hours wasn't enjoyable. And I was just so astounded. They let me go at 3 a.m. because I said, look, I've got nothing to hide. You ask me what you want.
Yeah.
I had to walk back to the hotel, which was a bit disorientated because I had no idea where I was. Got back to the hotel about 4:30, had 3 hours sleep.
Went to work the next
day. Went into the BBC a few hours later, and the producer just came to my dressing room and said, sorry, look, we're having to send you home. You're suspended. You can't do the next week's filming.
The radio show where the owls are not what they seem.
Do you or have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
They could be dreaming and meeting each other in their dreams.
On Talk Radio.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Excuse me.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
And I'm his daughter, Ruthie.
We do a podcast. It's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
In which I tell him how he's wrong about most things.
And I explain to her who the Bee Gees were. It's on Acast and Apple Podcasts.
And all your favourite podcast providers.
It's a unique generation gap conversation between a baby boomer dad
and his Generation Z daughter.
That's Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Brand new episodes every Thursday.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Here's where we might slightly disagree. I can sort of understand a suspension until...
Yes, I agree why...
I know it means, you know, Paul Gambaccini, of course, is perhaps one of the most famous ones. I mean, he didn't work, I think, for 18 months or 2 years. Wrote a really good, interesting book about it. Didn't work for 18 months or 2 years because the whole legal system can drag on and on and on and on. And while it's unfair that anyone should lose money for a false accusation, I can kind of understand why it would be done.
Yeah.
But 3 months later, so relatively, I mean, sure, it seemed like a lifetime for you, but in comparison to a lot of other false accusations, Cliff Richard and Gambaccini and a few others, 3 months is actually quite a short...
That's only because my solicitor pressured them. It was going to take quite a bit longer.
Wow,
and
wow,
my solicitor pressured them and said, right, come on, let's get this sorted out.
Oh, good for him.
And
or her.
They did, but here's... what's your evidence? Oh, there isn't any. In fact, everything points to your innocence. You got an eyewitness report, video evidence, and we took his boxer shorts for DNA testing. No evidence whatsoever. You're innocent, completely cleared. That's it.
And so you were never charged?
Nope.
Had you gone in for questioning again in that 3 months? It was just that one night?
One time.
Wow. So never charged, questioned once... 3 months of insecurity and being unaware of what's going on, and then the police said, as far as we can see, you're innocent. There's no evidence to back this up.
Absolutely.
You're free to get on with your life, sir.
Yes. On that very day, my manager received an email from Eggheads: "You're fired."
See, that's insane, because at that moment when. There's nothing, there's nothing. It's a phantom. Surely they take you out for lunch, one would imagine. Take you out for lunch, say, look, really sorry. Hope you understand why we did it. Hope there's no hard feelings. We'd love to invite you back if you want to come and work with us. But no, you got a message saying, we're done.
They didn't even contact me personally. It was sent to my manager.
They wouldn't do that, they're cowards.
I can understand the suspension. I was furious about the firing. And then they gave the statement saying, oh, we were just refreshing the lineup. But all they did was fire me. And the timing was apparently purely coincidental. It was just a pure coincidence. It was on the very day I was cleared.
Catherine, we know this BBC bollocks, don't we? We know. We've heard these lines before. I'm laughing just because it's so familiar through what we went through. I'm not laughing at your situation at all. That must have been infuriating.
Incandescent with rage.
Yeah,
I think
it
was a phrase I used.
I bet. I bet.
I wasn't happy.
Have the producers ever spoken to you?
No. The only contact I've had with anybody from Eggheads since then was about 2 weeks later. One of the panelists contacted me to say, with regret, we have been told not to contact you ever again.
Oh, mate.
So I've had no contact with anybody, even people on the panel who I thought were my friends, Not one of them has contacted me in the 3 years since.
That sucks. I'm really sorry. That's
more polite language than I use.
Yeah, no. and I know that I can feel the rage as you're telling this. I appreciate you kind of holding your tongue a little bit. That is that's awful. And of course, with things like this, when it's rolling contracts, when it's contracts, you know, what people don't understand with jobs like this,
it was a 0 hours contract,
right?
I was guaranteed no work,
of course. And you know, with contracts like this, if they wanted to sack me, they just don't renew the contract. You know, that's the way, they don't renew the contract. So you can't really say, oh, I've been sacked, because technically you haven't, but you know, it's, so they played that game. All right. But you, okay, so the sexual assault happened but didn't happen, there was nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. But then you'd murdered someone.
This is fun, this bit, isn't it?
You'd murdered someone. Now, this, I'd missed the sexual assault story, okay?
Yeah.
And I was really surprised when I read this last week. But I remember, and this is, and I'm ashamed of this, but this is how news works. I remember you murdering somebody.
Yeah.
Because that was a big story.
And admitting to it.
And admitting to it in a book.
Mm.
But of course, that's not what happened. And I'm really ashamed that I didn't dig deeper the first time around, because I had that in my head.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us what happened there?
In about September 2017, I came back from Cape Town and I was arrested at Heathrow Airport. I was taken to a police station, jailed overnight, and then taken to Westminster Magistrates Court the next day. What had happened was a European arrest warrant had been issued for me, because in my book I had written in my autobiography that I thought I killed somebody in Amsterdam. This was a mugger who attacked me with a knife, and I wrote in my book that I thought I murdered him.
Yeah.
A European arrest warrant was issued on that basis, and I was jailed and taken to court about this. There's only one slight problem with the whole thing, and that's it's all complete bollocks. Nowhere in my book does it say anything like that. I never wrote those words. They don't appear anywhere in the book. Somebody made it up. Somebody changed my Wikipedia page, and a Dutch journalist apparently read this, passed it on to the Dutch prosecutor, who issued the arrest warrant. The police arrested me and I was taken to court. But the prosecutor, the journalist, the press, the judge and the police, not one of them bothered to spend 2 minutes looking in the book to see it wasn't true.
I have the quote that was doing all the rounds in the newspapers. And this is what, of course, I read.
Please.
Right. So this is the bit lifted from your book. And then we're going to go to the actual page.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from your book, apparently. I was in a phone box and this old guy, obviously a massive drug user, came up behind me with a knife in his hand. He told me to turn around, open my bag and give him whatever was inside. I punched him so hard in the face, knocked the knife out of his hand and threw him in the canal. I fully suspect I killed him. I've no idea what happened to him. I remember reading that.
Yes. So do lots of people.
Yeah.
I don't remember writing it.
And it wasn't until we were chatting on Twitter and someone said, yeah, all right, CJ, you murdered someone. And you went, well, actually, here's the page in my book.
Yep.
That I read what happened. And, yeah, you tell a story about being by, you know, getting mugged by a drug user.
Yep.
So you get to, this is from the actual book. I completely snapped, dropped the phone and flew at him in fury. He didn't expect this reaction and was immediately thrown into terror. I grabbed the knife, tossed it into the water and started to thump him. I screamed the entire time, allowing all my frustration and hurt to flood out. I couldn't help myself, but doubt that I even wanted to. He'd tried, however meekly, to mug me at knife point and I was just defending myself. Of course, this is ludicrous, as the gentlest of slaps would have got rid of him. Once unarmed, he'd hardly be a threat to anyone else, but my assault continued until I half punched, half pushed him into the canal. Trembling with rage and with fists still tightly clenched, I'm ashamed to say I walked away. I didn't give this sorry creature another thought.
That's what it says in the book. Not a word about punching him in the face, not a word about thinking I killed him. I did not write those words. They do not exist.
Completely, completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Yeah.
And that quote that was in all the papers and is still online.
And the BBC published.
The BBC published. That was because someone updated your Wikipedia page.
Yeah. That quotation appears on the European arrest warrant.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a Dutch prosecutor, what, they saw it and went, we got to get this guy because there's an unsolved murder or something?
What happened was there was a Dutch writer who maybe purely coincidentally had a book out about previous murders in Amsterdam. He claims that a journalist pointed him towards the Wikipedia page. So he told the prosecutor issued the warrant.
Okay.
So maybe it was in his interest. Maybe he sold a few copies of his book.
So when you're in court... Mm-hmm. And did they read out that section? They didn't say that to you?
No.
Okay. So how did this proceed then?
Basically, I was told to stay quiet. And the judge then asked me to stand up after a few minutes and said, well, in view of the fact there's no actual evidence and you have admitted to this in your book, I said, excuse me, may I just stop you there? And I said, I didn't. I didn't write it. These aren't my words. It doesn't appear anywhere in the book. And the whole court was thrown into the confusion. They stopped the...
They listened to you?
They listened to me, but the whole thing was over in a few minutes. They retained my passport and I was just free to go.
Right. No one said, look, can we come back after lunch? Can someone pop down to Waterstones and go and...
No, of course not.
None of that.
And a couple of days later... the whole thing was dismissed because apparently the court got a letter from the Dutch prosecutor saying they were dropping the case due to, in quotations, basic and embarrassing errors.
So they're saying, without saying it, they ballsed up. They went on a rumour instead of actually looking at
the evidence. Actually, we didn't bother to look at it, but now we have, we cocked up. Well, but don't worry about CJ, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Don't worry about the huge trauma that we've caused an innocent
man.
The
fact he was jailed and splashed over the front pages of the papers claiming he'd murdered
somebody. Was there ever any apology in any of the papers?
I've had an apology from nobody.
Really?
About anything.
I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry because I'm not papers, but I'm kind of part of this machine.
Yeah.
And I believed it. I believed that. I didn't believe you'd murdered somebody, but I believed that was the quote from the book.
Yeah.
I didn't believe you'd killed someone. I thought it was quite a dramatic quote and that the papers were building a story around it. But I believed that was the quote from the book. And I'm sure a lot of people listening today will be surprised that you never wrote those words. Mm-hmm. So that's... Several, you know, the job, the sexual assault that wasn't, the murder that wasn't, that's three huge things to happen in a comparatively short space of time.
Yeah.
What's happened since, CJ?
It's got worse.
Go on.
In 2017, I made a reference and named the person who had accused me of sexual assault.
Yeah.
I was legally entitled to do that. Because the alleged assault took place in Scotland, which isn't covered by the England and Wales Sexual Offences Act, this person did not have anonymity, so I was perfectly legally entitled to name him.
Why did you decide to do that, if you don't mind me asking?
Because I'd still been facing non-stop criticism, non-stop abuse, people just accusing me of it all the time. And, frankly, I wanted some justice.
Yeah, okay.
I still haven't had any closure, I still haven't had any apology, and I'd lost everything.
Mm.
I'd lost my job, my livelihood, my career, my health, as you know, is failing, and I was unemployable.
Mm.
Somehow, he managed to find a solicitor, don't know how he found this solicitor, but willing to represent him on a no-win, no-fee basis.
The thread that I think I've picked up is that you possibly believe that there is, I'm going to say the C word, CJ, there's a conspiracy... against you? Is that close?
I would think there's certainly something going on behind the scenes. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
can I ask what make... Because from... Listen, I don't know the full story. Mm. From where I am, I can see some really, really bad decisions. I can see some really, really bad luck. And I can see some huge cock-ups.
Mm.
I personally can't see a conspiracy. What makes you think that there is?
The solicitors have pursued me for the last year and a half. First of all, for damages, claiming that I caused distress and loss to their client. In about September 2018, I ran out of what money I had. I had to beg on social media for people to give me money for pay for legal fees, but I had to declare myself bankrupt. My solicitor and I told this right at the beginning, I have no money.
Yeah.
I have no income. For the last as it was 2 years then, I've been surviving on a monthly payment of disability living allowance and nothing else. I survive on one state benefit. I have no money, I have no income, no savings, no assets. I've got nothing. But they continue to pursue me.
Mm.
I declared bankruptcy last year.
Mm.
And they still have pursued me. They've put in a claim of £100,000 against my estate. All I've got left is the interest in my house.
Mm.
Now, even if they, as they are trying to force now, they managed to get the trustee who's taken over my bankruptcy to force the sale of my house, to making me and my husband homeless.
Yeah.
All they will ever get back, the maximum they can get back is £40,000, I would say. But by their own even conservative estimate, they've spent $120,000.
Right, okay.
So they have pursued me for 3 years, for 2 years, knowing they're going to lose at least £70,000 or £80,000.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Why would anybody willingly lose high tens of thousands of pounds if there wasn't something or some reasoning or somebody supporting them behind it?
I have to say, because they're not here and because they're a legal firm, they can sue my ass, that if anyone from the legal company ever wants to come on and put forward their side of the story or wants to send me a statement, I would be very, very happy to have a look at that and read that out, of course. And I'm just, you know, just
of course,
to flag up,
please.
We're only getting your side of the story of at the moment. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you? What's your health? What's going on there?
As has been documented a few years ago, I had a very large tumour removed from my mouth. So I have had another cancer scare since then.
Yeah.
My doctor also wanted to sign me off sick from absolutely everything and told me to give me permanent bed rest because the last year and a half has taken such a detrimental toll on me. He said he was really worried about me.
Mm.
I've told him, no need to worry, I'm fine, I'm fine. We smile through what we can, so we just keep going. But, yeah, I mean, I have issues. I have to say the only thing that's kept me going in the last year and a half especially is running. I'm a very keen runner, and that's kept me healthy and happy.
Good luck with that, mate. You're on your own, CJ.
But,
the stress has got to you, though. I've seen...
The stress isn't doing much for me,
yeah.
I've lost a lot of weight.
me and Kath said as we came in, you look thin.
Yeah. I put that down to the training, but I think that's probably being generous.
Yeah. So what's next? No one... You were saying on Twitter again, no one's interested in the story.
No,
no one cares, it would appear.
Yeah.
We genuinely interested. You know, like I say, when I looked into it a bit, it was like, oh, OK, this is obviously... Mm. Some injustice has happened here.
At the moment, I'm fighting to save my house. It's the only asset I've got. And all it is my half of the equity in the house and my half of what the house is worth above its mortgage. The way it works is with a creditor, even one that's an unsecured claim put against my estate, if that goes to court, the trustee can force the sale of the house just to get their hands on that money. But here's something I didn't realise until recently. Not only is a trustee a government employee who is paid, they also get a commission on any of the monies and assets they seize, and they can be funded and have their expenses paid by one of the creditors.
It's a great life, isn't it?
It's wonderful, isn't
it's
it? So, for example, any of the creditors, let's say, I don't know, purely hypothetically, a solicitor, could pay the trustee's fees, and then the trustee could impartially look at their claim and say, oh, yes, I'll allow this, because if it goes through, then I'll get commission from that as well.
Listen, we're going to move on in a minute, but you turn to acting.
Yes.
You've won awards for acting. I've an award-winning actor.
I am, yes.
but no one's touching you because you're CJ, formerly of Eggheads, accused of sexual assault. There's all of the murderer. There's all of that shadow
the thing is,
hanging over you.
When even the little hint of sexual assault, so that's panto out of the window.
Of course
no chance
it is.
Of him doing anything like that. Any of the big shows, they can't employ me because there's the baggage around. A couple of years ago, I actually went for a couple of meetings with ITV to do with The Chase. That would have been my dream job. Doing The Chase would have been fantastic. But unfortunately, since all this has blown up, there's no chance of me working. Well, even if they would, I don't think I would feel comfortable going on The Chase while this is still hanging over me, because I wouldn't want to in any way damage the brand. In my humble opinion, The Chase is the premier quiz show around at the moment.
Yeah.
they couldn't be involved with me and I wouldn't want to be involved with them until this is finished. If I can get my life back, then maybe I'll give them a call.
Do you think you get your life back? Are you optimistic? You must be, to keep plodding on, to come on here and tell this story, to go on Twitter and tell your story. There must be some optimism that you're clinging to.
The reason I tell my story is because I've got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
I'm telling the truth. Everything I've said, I can prove. I have done nothing wrong. I've written nothing wrong. I've said nothing wrong. I've broken no law, committed no offence. But even when on social media I do my little upbeat, inspiring videos every morning, you do it to try and help other people. There are always people who are worse off than you. And for the time being, I've still got a roof over my head, which is far more than a lot of people have got.
Just very quickly, a few people are saying, well, why doesn't he sue? You need money to sue.
If I could sue...
Yeah, you need money
If I could sue, I would do. But yeah, to sue the Sun is hundreds of thousands of pounds. Of course, I'd win if I did.
Yeah.
But even a conservative estimate is 150 grand to sue... Yeah. Any newspaper. I'd love to sue, but it costs money and I don't have any. I'm bankrupt.
Hey, listen, man, I don't want you to think that all of the media is against you. You know, I buy all of your story. Mm-hmm. The conspiracy thing, I can see how someone against, who's battled against it for 3-4 years would think that. I don't see a conspiracy, and I hope that you get the impression that by being invited on this show, and this is going to go out as a podcast on Monday, that not everyone in the media is against you. You know, you've got a friend here. If the story develops, you're very, very welcome to come back, CJ. I think you're a good man.
Thanks, mate.
I think you've had a lousy time. I think you've been treated appallingly. I think sexual assault accusations have to be investigated. But once it is shown, it's proven there is nothing, then I think the person who is accused should be welcomed back with open arms, if that's appropriate, and should be, you know, apologised to and should be put exactly in the position they were in before those accusations happen. And it's one of the many failings of the BBC that they haven't done that.
All I can say is the last 3 years have been hell. I've lost everything, job, career, livelihood, reputation, absolutely everything. I've lost a lot of weight, but at least my cheekbones look fabulous.
You look great, CJ. Hey, it's so nice to see you. Come back in, man, and let us know, mate, if anything happens.
Yep.
We'll carry on the show. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.